Hey, Rob.
Hi, Sam.
You know, we've obviously been spending a lot of time talking about our think tank event in Portugal, and it made me think about when we were together in Chicago in 2024 for the US think tank event and some of the, I want to say, cultural differences that we experienced.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example.
I was thinking about how you ordered a bottle of water one time and the waiter couldn't understand you.
Okay, I think I know where you're going with this. This is the whole water.
And I remember you were like, oh, can I get a, oh, this is me debuting my British accent, but, oh, can I get I can't do this with you looking at me, but a bottle of water and straight from Mary Poppins. And I was like, I'll have a bottle of water.
A bottle of water.
Hey, I'm Rob, and this is Sam.
Hi.
You're listening to a Win-Win Marketing Podcast.
On today's episode, join us for a candid conversation with OPM agency RevWise and their client, alcohol retailer The Bottle Club, to see how the right people, partnerships, and platform can breathe new life into a stagnant affiliate program. A lot of peas.
Hell of a lot. It's a great example of what's possible when a brand takes a fresh look at the affiliate channel and then brings in the right support to unlock its potential.
We dug into the common pitfalls that slowed down growth, why consistent optimization matters, and how RevWise and The Bottle Club worked together to rebuild performance from the ground up.
So, whether you're running an underperforming program or just curious at what smart strategic agency collaboration really looks like, this one's for you.
So we're a multi-brand alcohol retailer. We're basically selling everybody else's products. So there isn't so much about like brand acquisition and top level brand stuff. It was all about trying to get people to see the products that they need.
That's Tim Martin Harvey, head of e-commerce at The Bottle Club.
We had quite an off-the-shelf affiliate program beforehand. Originally, we were on WebGains, and then we moved over to Awin and just kind of had a very basic platform. And then when we met RevWise, they kind of went through the platform and just made us realize how much we were missing out. And we just thought, as a lot of people do, when you're brand side, you know, see affiliates as like a lesser channel, not something you need to be focused on. But yeah, I didn't realize how much we were missing out on.
Yeah, well, it's a great segue to these two gentlemen.
Well, that's really common as well, because there's this breakneck speed of kind of evolution happening in the affiliate industry, but it's catching brands off guard.
And that's Gary Winter, co-founder at RevWise.
And it doesn't matter if you're a household name brand all the way down to SMEs, medium-sized brands, we're seeing this happening. Obviously, some have been ahead of the curve, but most brands just started looking at the affiliate channel recently as a totally different beast.
Specifically in the Bottle Club's case, like the brand was very well known, yeah, and yet we saw this program, which was very basic, you know, yeah. And again, unfortunately, that's commonplace, you know, when we come across a brand or they come to us and we audit their program.
Also with us is Jamie Brucey, co-founder at RevWise.
But we knew the opportunity for changing the variety of the publisher mix and also going into new areas.
So if you can please describe the challenge that The Bottle Club was facing and how did affiliate marketing help the brand solve that?
We've always relied on a CPC, CPI model. We've learned over the last year that it just wasn't in line with our business. And I think brands like multi-brand retailers really need to be on a CPA model.
Can you explain for anyone who's not familiar what like a CPC versus a CPA model is?
Yeah, for sure. So like Google Shopping is a cost per click. So regardless of it actually converting, you're paying for the number of clicks that happen. And then you kind of attribute that against the number of sales that you get. And then it levels itself out as a normal ROAS. And then your CPI is your cost per impression or cost per CPM, cost per milli, which is normally your Facebook, etc. But in both of those models, you're not paying for the sale, you're paying for the visibility of your brand, which is great if you're in a growth model, if you're trying to make yourself really visible, it's really relevant. But we're selling everybody else's product. So people already know, have an intent about what they want. They know what they're looking for. It's making sure that you're in the right places at the right time. Yeah. And as we go into this whole multi-judge attribution period of time, I think you have to be on a CPA model, because whatever the actual true contributor was needs to be what's getting the share of the commission.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know something you mentioned when we initially had a conversation was that The Bottle Club as a business was growing, but not necessarily profitable. And how do you think this like CPA versus CPC model was maybe contributing to that?
If you're operating on a 10 ROAS of 10% cost per acquisition, and our business, you know, operates somewhere between 20 and 30% margins, quite a low margin business, you need to look at what that cost is against the margin. So we had crazy growth that came from Google Shopping thing. It came from, yeah, COVID was great for e-commerce and alcohol sales. And we luckily were in the position to be in both of those industries. So the growth was phenomenal. But the problem was, as you scale, you don't necessarily know what you need to be doing. So the warehouse was inefficient. The advertising was inefficient. We didn't know what we needed to be focusing on because we weren't sure where we were going to be or what the lockdown was going to be, etc. So the growth was crazy. We did a really good job of maintaining the performance and the customer satisfaction of it. But by doing that, we didn't grow profitably. When we finally realized what we're doing, we reduced revenue and we looked at our profitability as our focus. And I think revenue nowadays, unless you're a VC-backed business and a growth business, revenue is a vanity metric. There's no point being a high revenue business if you've got no profit at the end of the day. Even if you're VC, at some point, somebody's got to pick up that bill because the person that buys that business has to pay off all the debt. So we're a profitability-focused business. And then when we went and looked at what we were spending on the click and the impressions versus our actual revenue and the actual sales we were getting, it was just, it wasn't 10 ROAS. And I think there's just so much incorrect attribution against that spend and the ROI is really poor.
So you had a program on WebGains, moved to Awin, weren't really utilizing it to its full capacity. And so you've brought the RevWise gentleman on your left and your right on board. But really, what was it about the RevWise team and Jamie and Gary here that you were like, this is the partner to really help us like drive that forward momentum?
For sure. I think they are similar mentality to our business, are hungry people. They see opportunities. And actually, Gary made us very aware of the things that we were missing out on, all these opportunities, how basic the actual program was. And then as we've started growing together, the growth and the performance and then aligning with the kind of CPA mentality that we've got has just really been a perfect partnership.
You know, we've been going for just over 2 years, but there's so many brands in that position where you just turn around one day and the founder says, what the hell, where's our, you know, new wave affiliate program? Why do we have a program that's, you know, made up of the same old publishers that were around 10 plus years ago when our competitor, I can see that they're out there, they've got all these long tail bloggers putting out recipes, cocktail recipes, doing partnerships, they've got influencers, they've got brand partnerships, they've got all these perk schemes and they look at their program and think, what the hell is going on? And I think that's probably fair to say you guys turned around and said, well, hold on, we should start looking at this a bit closer.
Yeah.
It's basically doing, you know, a tenth of what it could do.
I think as well, like, as a brand, affiliates is always synonymous with discounters, voucher codes, last click, and all of the things that we think about are really only in that pre-purchase page, but actually affiliates is cross, post-purchase is something we focus on massively, a point of purchase as well. And I was chatting to your CTO last night and I was saying that for the last 5 to 10 years of e-commerce, everyone's been focused on acquisition. Or actually, it's like a bucket. And if you've got a hole in your bucket and it's just pouring out of the bottom and you're not kind of plugging that up, you're just topping it back up again. It's just a complete waste. And that's where this year, actually, we've turned off all of our CPO and CPC marketing and focused on CPA. Because what we want to do is have that operating efficiently here and then focus really on like nurturing the customer base that we've already achieved. And that's where those other touch points and the other really interesting sides of affiliates comes in and the long tail stuff and the post-purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as marketers, whether it's here or in previous jobs and past lives, we're also focused on like getting that customer and then like kind of, I don't want to say forget, but like really in some ways forget what to do with them once we have them. I think regardless if it's like sometimes B2C or even like B2B to a certain extent, like once you have that sale, for lack of a better term, you're like, great, I've got it, I'm done. It's like, actually, there's still like a lot of nurturing that needs to happen there.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I'm really excited about. Like Klaviyo's just done a new launch on Klaviyo CRM, which is, you know, we all know what CRM is from a B2B model, but we don't really ever look at consumer level or like normal retailing on a CRM level. Like the amount of touch points we have in e-commerce is so impressive, but we don't necessarily utilize them effectively. That's something that we've been spending the last year doing, is pulling in as much data as possible, building really in-depth segmentation on top of it, and then using it like that.
Gary, Jamie, I would imagine listening to Tim talk about how he's aware that affiliate is more than just like discount code and cashback partners, and it really is full funnel marketing. Is that a common experience you have with the clients that you work with, or is this more of a unique perspective?
It's great to have a like-minded person. Mm. You know, we're really working together and we both appreciate that affiliates can't work in a vacuum. You know, you need to consider the full marketing mix. So it's not just publisher types, but we need to consider what you're doing with the other channels and how can we optimize what we're doing with the affiliates to help with those channels as well.
I remember when we first met, so it was probably a year and a half ago, Tim probably wasn't seeing and experiencing the things that he is now, but he had a hunch, you know, and this is quite common. To answer your question about, is it common?
Yeah.
It's common for brands to have a hunch, and I say brands who haven't got a mature affiliate program that is getting the most out of every possible partner type is what I'm talking about. Those brands normally quite frustrated when we meet them, and our sales and partnerships team are meeting dozens of brands every week, and I see the same stuff coming up, and you know, even some pretty big companies, all the way down to smaller ones, are frustrated with their program versus what they know is possible, and they have a hunch, let's say, that it could be better, and then hopefully, you know, turn that hunch into, okay, this is a reality now. The channel is doing all the things that we know it can do, and it's also never ending, which is great for us because we get to stay on board long term as their affiliate managers. But it's a constant battle to bring on more new and better partnerships and strategize around the channel, like you just said.
So when you walk into like a prospecting meeting with brands, what is that pitch to be like, affiliate is actually more than what you think it is?
Quite often what we see, and I'm being a bit generalizing here, but let's say 70 to 80% of the brands we meet, they say our affiliate program is not giving us value. We just have partners that we feel are maybe extracting more value than they're giving us. And we're thinking about shutting the whole thing down, or we're thinking about doing this or doing that. And we've tried this, this, and this. And what we come on board to do is to keep what they have, you know, improve it, but also build on top of it massively so that they are getting their fair share of value from the channel. They're giving loads of value back. They should be rewarding partners massively and investing more and more into the channel, but it should be a fair exchange of value. And quite often brands are giving more value than they're receiving and getting frustrated, but it's not bad actors taking advantage. It's just there's not enough expertise yet. It's not kept up with the development of the channel. So the channel's exploded in the last sort of 5 to 7 years, and there's not enough affiliate managers doing the right stuff and putting in the unsexy legwork that is required to go and get those partnerships. So brands go round and round in circles getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Just interrupting Sam for a minute to tell you that A Win-Win Marketing Podcast is brought to you by Awin. Now, you might be listening because you're an e-commerce retailer struggling to grow your brand awareness, get more customers, generate additional sales, or maintain your bottom line with marketing and advertising. Using the Awin platform, these challenges go away as you unlock unlimited pay-on-performance partnership opportunities and promotional spaces that reach consumers everywhere. Choose which affiliate partners best match your marketing objectives. Control your costs by defining how you pay these partners, and customize your affiliate marketing program using Awin's tech to mirror your unique goals, whatever they may be. Visit awin.com today and start growing your own way with the Awin platform.
Well, we've got Tim. He's brought you two on board. He's laid out his goals. And I would just love to have a candid conversation with the three of you of like, how did you tackle this? What did you do to bring in profit as much as growth and really shift to this like true CPA model?
One of the big hooks and what we're set up to do based on our resources and the people we have in the company is go after that long tail of content publishers. So you might have had some publishers on the program before who, again, go back to what Gary said, you know, their publishers have been in the mix for like 10, 20 years even. We're talking about cashback, voucher code, etc. But we know based on our experience and based on where we've been before that it's not just about the purchase, but also like getting that awareness out, and you can get in multiple blogs. This is a great product to get in those sort of, you know, BBC Good Foods, but not just the big BBC Good Foods, like the lower down, the more sort of long tail.
Yeah, and also like Google Shopping, like a lot of lower margin resellers, they don't have all the margin to work with as a direct D2C brand. I don't know, this, you could say this, you guys always had a up and down relationship with paid, with, you know, with PPC, and but yet they weren't properly leveraging CSS partners in their affiliate program. So we came along and said, hey, you know, they've got some there, but what work is being done strategically with these partners to like get them a really transparent feedback loop so that they feel like we're a trusted partner they can go to town with and arbitrage, and that's happened. So CSS was a big one. But like Jamie said, the single hardest thing that brands who come to us experience is the tenacity, the character, and the man hours required to go out and bring on that long tail of content publishers that is never ending, and include influencers in there as well. And obviously your legacy media too, there's fewer of them, so they're easier to work with strategically, but those long tail that might have 100,000 monthly visits, but they're gonna be the most engaged partner that when we've got something going on, we can just chuck them an update, maybe send them some product and get them posting and doing it all on the CPA. That's like the gold mine to most marketing directors and also founders. Now, if you look at the Bottle Club's program, it's a really healthy pie chart of different publisher types. It's now become a different phase where we have to make sure those content publishers who are doing great work aren't being penalized for being an early in the click journey. So that's the next challenge that comes, is creating a healthy ecosystem once you've got the right partners on.
I think as well, like from a brand perspective with content publishers, a lot of the logic of it comes from, what channel does it get attributed from? So I think when we originally did it, we were doing kind of, we had a traditional PR agency first, then we had a digital PR agency that was going after your SEO. So you don't know which channel it's supposed to be working with. And we were almost duplicating the level of work and the level of conversations and go, well, the traditional PR agency's got us this, but they've shoved the skim link on. Well, that really should have been managed by the affiliate agency. And I think brands forget that those advertorials can be updated as well. I think I didn't know that until speaking to you.
Yeah, the PR agency might just stick the link up there and move on, because it's just like a byproduct of them doing their PR, doing a great job. But if the brand is focused on tracking CPA sales, then it's actually like, well, we're below the fold. I'm going to use BBC Good as an example. You know, we might speak to them and say, hey, look, we're below the fold on this gin gifting article.
Yeah.
What will it take and what do you need to get us up the page, whether it's paid placement, whether it's a higher CPA, whether they need to send products or educate them so they can improve the content.
Yeah.
All these legacy media brands are investing heavily now in CPA revenue.
Yeah.
Since 2017, they've been getting absolutely battered because of Facebook instant articles, cutting their traffic source. And that's part of this evolution. They've moved towards getting really good at monetizing affiliate programs.
Yeah, I mean, it's super interesting, I think, just to see the shift of like editorial and advertorial in general. And it's often something that, even from my perspective, really operate in very different silos. And those that are successful have that like integrated approach.
I think the thing that excites me the most is where I see a lot of kind of brand awareness coming from now is from those advertorials and those content publishers. And as we move away from algorithmic SEO, and people, like as mentioned this morning, about using LLMs to actually find what you're looking for, tailored approaches, all of that data is going to come from content publishers.
Yeah.
So actually nurturing.
Not necessarily coming from your own website.
No, exactly. And I think realistically, most businesses are in a position where they've spent the last 5 years building technology and a platform for old tech. Like, we've just rebuilt recently and it was focused around Core Web Vitals. It was focused on backlinks and all of this. But realistically, the algorithm won't be like that if LLM is the way forward.
Yeah.
And where is it going to pull the data from? It's going to be from content publishers, realistically.
Yeah, exactly.
And the visibility, as you said, the volume of that needs to be as many different places and different audiences as possible.
We were having this conversation yesterday about AI results. The three of us were sat around, pulled up ChatGPT, and that's, what did I say? Yeah. Best place to buy alcohol online in the UK. And it just came up with the results, and it was like Bottle Club, number one.
Yeah.
And so this...
And then you guys all high-fived and...
Yeah. We did. Yeah, we really did.
Screenshots, send it to the team. So it's understanding that, and also understanding that publishers need a stronger ally than ever to survive when they're constantly getting knocked by Google, by Facebook. They need to be able to get this best yield possible from their views, and affiliates has come in to sort of do that.
Yeah, and you've got to remember as well, if anyone keeps up with the ChatGPT updates, that literally last month they've now integrated Shopify directly into it. So ChatGPT is most likely going to be a front end, or, you know, that's what people are going to be interacting with to purchase. So how do we prep for that? Obviously, Awin's whole thing with this launch that's coming up is about making sure that the Awin platform is ready for an AI future.
Yeah.
And like, is your affiliate program ready for an AI future? Is your website ready for an AI future if you're not doing the right stuff that the AI is looking for and you're still doing legacy SEO work?
I think something else that you had mentioned earlier in this conversation, that preparing the Bottle Club for an AI future forward, is you've turned off a lot of other advertising spend and really, again, consolidating that investment into these longer tail content partners and things that are being trolled by LLM. So talk to us a little bit more about what that is.
Yeah, so we in January turned off our Google shopping through Google and also Meta. Reason being is when we did the analysis of where our spend was versus our profit, it just wasn't true. And that's where we get into the multi-touch attribution piece. We're still doing Google shopping because that is where our customers are, where people are looking for results, but we're doing it on a CPA model. So we're using Redbrain and Shopify as our two main partners with that, CSS partners, and it's been really helpful to see that it is part of the journey. I think that's the thing, is that Google shopping, Facebook are all part of a customer journey, but are they actually the reason that people converted? So turning that off has been the big change. And we saw an initial drop, but now we're really tracking against last year with a considerable lack of spend and a huge increase in profitability.
And when you say you're using partners like Redbrain, that's through the affiliate channel?
Yes.
Yeah. He did something so radical that it would make most marketing directors go completely insane, because it seems incredibly brave. But in his case, being a multi-brand retailer and sometimes struggling with PPC profitability, just to turn that off and trust that the affiliate program that's now more mature is going to pick up the slack was, I mean, an incredible live experiment that has thankfully gone very well for them.
Obviously it means that our team have to be like all over the product feed, making sure that, you know, all of the information that's, you know, going through it is correct. And because you've got tons of SKUs and...
We hold an inordinate amount of data against every product. So actually the way the site's built is built on this really in-depth PIM. So we can enable them to be as efficient and as possible. But I challenge any brand to really look at any of their channels. And I'm not saying turn it off, because obviously that was a bold move from us. But I do think sometimes if you're trying to work out the relevance of something, the only way of seeing if it works is not having it.
Yeah.
So I was chatting to a Scottish fashion retailer, and they'd accidentally turned off a week's worth of Facebook ads, and they saw a revenue hit. So actually they accidentally did that test to realize how important that channel was to their acquisition and their revenue. But it's true for anything. Voucher codes, for example, are normally your last click. But if there wasn't a voucher code, would that have stopped the conversion, or did you just give it away? And like, you should be challenged to go and say, should we do this or should we not do this?
We did an analysis of A1 advertisers a few years ago and essentially grouped everyone into two different cohorts. Because I think with affiliate, it's easy to be complacent. You kind of like set up affiliate links and it's a bit evergreen, always on type of marketing activity. And so like very much a set it and forget it mentality. You know, we have certain advertiser programs where like brands literally never log into the platform, and the publishers either never log into the platform. And we basically grouped our advertisers into armchair advertisers, those that were a bit passive, kind of sat back, and then these adventure advertisers. And like the uplifting results were like so stark and incredibly different, because it's, as you say, like you really have to examine the data and get hands-on into the program. And it's like with anything, like the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it.
For sure. Something we've done that's been hugely beneficial for us, and then we're going to be working on a lot as a team, is we now gather at checkout with 100% completion rate. It's a mandatory question, and it's, is this purchase for yourself? Is it a gift, or are you hosting, or is it trade? And the reason that's so important to us is that when you start looking at the data and looking at your customer segmentation, the repeat purchase rate of gifting customers is either, you know, annually or in key buying periods, whereas your repeat purchaser is actually 60 days, 90 days, etc. So that means the customer lifetime value is different, the cost per acquisition is different. But when you work out what that question is for your business and then you start applying it, you can start, so our email marketing, for example, we now excluding those gifting customers because they don't care about new releases because they're not buying for themselves.
Yeah.
And then we need to do a load of post-purchase work to say, how do we get them into becoming self-consuming regular customers? But then what we can also do is, now that we've built a cohort of gifting customers, self-consumers, then we can start building that audience into affiliates and say, okay, where are the lookalike audiences, or where are the publishers that are going to work really well to get more of these gifting customers? And then when do we do the publications, when, like gift guides, etc., in content or closed user groups and stuff like that? So it's like when you build out that key segments of your business and then apply it to all of your channels, both in email and in affiliates.
Yeah.
It's a really exciting time.
I heard a really good phrase that sort of sums that up, which is, what isn't measured isn't managed. And I love that. And that's exactly proof of it there.
Yep.
Because that creates this lovely feedback loop that can come from which publishers are driving gifting customers and, you know, self-purchases, and then put that back into the affiliate program. We know which audiences to go and work with.
Yeah, like I've got a lot of friends in, obviously retail media is becoming this huge buzzword and this huge thing, and it was previously shopper marketing. But what I find super interesting about retail media is, unless it's in a store that's kind of got cameras on every aisle, which it hasn't, most of it is just conversion data. So I think it's like, the stat is currently 20% of all retail sales are online. It's still 80% in store. But actually we've got the most amount of data of anyone. We've got impression data, we've got click, we've got view data. We're not just relying on, did it sell, did it not? So I mentioned earlier, is actually the amount of data that we're gathering, not using it, is a waste. You need to actually understand that data. So we're doing that on a segmentation level. But then we can also get down to like, what area of the UK buys the most whiskey in our customers, and then segment that with gifting and things like that.
Well, it comes back to the point of like multi-touch attribution too, because you're gathering all this data and then you're able to see like, where are our customers shopping? When are our affiliates interacting with them? And then like, how do we need to be more targeted to like ultimately get them to convert and then get them to come back?
Something I've been doing a lot of as well, and pushing other merchants to do, is look at their trending products versus their best-selling products. So we have a lot of people that said, this is our bestseller, this is what we need to spend loads of time on because it's been selling really well. But actually, that's a product that you've already done really well on. So that doesn't need nurturing. There's a load of products that are going to sit in your portfolio that are trending products that have loads of clicks, loads of impressions, but are not converting. What is the reason for it? Like, is there negative reviews? Are you out of market? Is it not in the right places? Are you not marketing that product to the right person versus the product that you have? And people don't necessarily do that change of analysis and then bring that into the work that they're doing.
And then it's matching those like affiliate partners to like where they're at.
One insight that we unlocked with our gift for host self thing was, we categorize anyone that bought something that was in a gift box as a gifting customer before we had the data.
Yeah.
but actually we have like collector's edition gift boxes. Well, actually most of the people that were buying those were self-consumers and they were the highest volume of sales. So even though they were gift box and would have previously gone into the gifting segment, they were self-consuming customers that were buying it to collect. If you don't have that insight, you can't do effective marketing, and that's where you kind of get wasted spend.
There's so much involved in affiliates today. I mean, hearing that, it goes back to the point earlier about many brands being unprepared for this massive wave in affiliate maturity now, and what are all the different skill sets that's needed in an affiliate team. And we've just spoken about quite advanced sort of strategic data analysis and putting that into use. They also need to be able to do campaign planning. They need to be a marketing person, and that's normally where the skill set ends. So if you look at most affiliate agencies, even networks or in-house team members, they are affiliate managers, but they probably have a marketing degree. They've been in a marketing career. And so a lot of that stuff they're going to be really good at. But what they're not going to be good at is all of the other bits that are now involved in affiliate management, which is, you know, the biggest one that we see, that we feel, is the sales mentality. Because if you're hunting for new partners from cold, they don't know you. You have to find who they are, reach out to them, probably kiss some frogs, handle rejection and go back again with a new idea, a new pivot, and be a persuader to whoever this long tail of partners that you've got to get through is. And that is not the sort of strength of an average marketing person, but you need to have all in one these days. And I think that's what's got us to this point with the Bottle Club.
So what is next for the Bottle Club and RevWise partnership?
I think one thing for me is brand to brand.
Yeah.
I was chatting with the business that is based in Scotland. Their business is called Little Lies. They do like rocker fashion from like 60s, 80s rocker fashion. But obviously everybody that's into that genre is into music, and we've got loads of like band related products. So we've got like Iron Maiden wine, Def Leppard whiskey and sort of stuff like that. And finding those niche partners to share audiences with.
Yeah.
You can share the same level of engagement, the same kind of tone of voice across different audiences that they just wouldn't have otherwise overlapped. So I find that really exciting.
Well, it gives you access to your favorite thing too, which is more data.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's focusing on that post-purchase as well. That's where we see the most opportunity next, but also just more of the same hunting that we have been doing and just doubling down.
Yeah, we'll always have a job, thankfully, because it's just so time consuming to do this stuff. Everyone sits, they might sit in a boardroom and say, okay, we need X, you know, a bit like this conversation. Like, what do we need more of? We need more either influencers or content partners or different brand partnerships. And so all these great ideas come up, but then someone has to go and execute them. And it's very fiddly and time consuming work. The actual reality is that most teams probably, I know this from my background in sales, you get one win and you sit back and go, oh, I'm the king. Good job done there, guys. And you just psychologically, you take your foot off the gas a bit, you know? It's got to be a constant effort to keep feeding that funnel, and it never ends. That's the reality of what we've got to do day to day. And some of that's not that sexy, because you're looking at pulling in data from SEMrush, from publisher scraping tools, from all sorts of sources, and having someone actually go through and make sense of that data, turn it into a hit list that meets Tim's and our strategy. And then someone's got to go out and actually do all that outreach and track it all and then turn those into sales. But we're pretty good at it. And that's why I think we've got to where we have in such a short space of time. And so we'll be doing a lot more of that basically moving forward.
And it can't happen without like the really good communication that we have with you. Like we need it to be optimal, and therefore the relationship has to be optimal. So constantly talking, strategizing, and I think it can't happen any other way really.
I do think that's something that too, that sets the affiliate industry apart from other like marketing industries or marketing channels, is obviously the business itself is like so technically relationship focused, but it is such a human in-person focused industry to a certain extent too. And it's the in-person moments and building those working relationships are then what leads to successful business partnerships.
For sure. I think with the PPC agencies, there's a lot of like one standard playbook per agency rolled out for everyone. Whereas obviously with you guys, that's where your kind of manpower comes in.
Yeah, and it's exhausting. It's exhausting, but it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the phrase is what, like work smarter, not harder, but it's really doing both in the sense
of working
smarter and harder.
Yeah, and AI is obviously going to help that.
Yeah.
And it is already helping that. And we have, like every agency probably have tons of SOPs and processes and team leads kind of like rolling stuff out all the time and training. And we encourage our staff to use AI, and we have a template for that so that stuff that they don't need to use their affiliate expertise or their relationships that they are building, they don't need to do. Exactly. Hopefully they can push that down, which then means more profit for our clients, more outcomes.
But it's awesome, like the ChatGPTs of the world and AI also then, to your earlier point, make it harder, because it's that is now where customers are going to like do their own research. So it's making your own job easier, but at the same time, now how do we get us ranking in these like LLM systems too, and like being in those results?
I think as well, like with the emerging technology, but also like changes in how the affiliate model is, you need a partner that's going to go and be the one listening. Like, I'm the one that's listening to all the e-com changes and going, okay, what developments do we need to do? What technology is now going to change? Yeah. Core Web Vitals is now 60% of the search and like algorithm rather than 20. So we need to make those adaptions. But when the affiliate marketing is changing, there isn't necessarily going to be a team in those businesses that is listening out to the changes, is it got their finger on the pulse of it. And that's why you're a bit like an extension of the team, because we leave you guys to tell us what we should be doing. And then we can go and worry on this section.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do feel sorry for like in-house affiliate managers at certain brands of a certain size. Well, often it's not even an affiliate manager, it might be an executive who's given that responsibility because the channel's not taken seriously. But there's just like, there's no way they can keep their finger on the pulse and do all that research.
And all the validations.
All the validations, all the attributions, look for fraud, you know, and go and outreach, find new publishers, bring them on, you know. It's too many things and different disciplines for one single person to do well.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons we moved to Awin, we were having loads of fraud or like super high costs that we couldn't actually attribute, bringing in proper deduplication, which for me was a real selling point of Awin, and having you guys to go and manage like the deduplication and the validation, and also challenge publishers and go, that's not yours. That's not, you weren't really involved in that sale. You couldn't do that with one person in the house.
And it wouldn't have even been the publisher's fault in that case. It would have been the fact that it was, what do you call it, an armchair
advertiser. But it's just like an evergreen kind of always on program.
Just leave it on, and then suddenly we start taking it seriously. We look in and we're horrified by what we see because it's been left to run. If you've got an affiliate program that you think is oversimple, not leveraging what you know is out there, not containing enough different publisher types, and maybe even wasteful or mismanaged, then you should look at who is running that for you and start asking questions because you can get way more from that channel.
Well, you guys have kind of beat me to my last question here. For brands considering affiliate for the first time, maybe not in the channel, but thinking about doing it, what's the one thing you tell them? What's that one single best piece of advice
you
give them?
So they don't have
an affiliate program. They're considering it for the first time.
Wow, okay.
No pressure.
Yeah, it's off the top of my head. I suppose it's diversity. Like, you're opening yourself up to partnerships, diverse partnerships, which if you don't have like a network program, it's very hard to piece it all together. Once you get a network program, then you can start reaching out to different types of partners. You might have the original goal of like, we need more sales, but affiliates gives you so much more than just sales. Again, like we were focusing on, it's the awareness, it's the pre-purchase, purchase, post-purchase, and it supports all the other channels as well.
I think more retailers and more brands need to know that affiliates isn't the dirty word that it was before, and there's actually so much more in it. I think that's the bit that people don't know.
Thanks for listening, and that's a wrap on season 2 of A Win-Win Marketing Podcast. I can't believe it. How do you feel, Rob? We're done.
I feel cooked right now, but
it's the UK heat wave still.
But don't worry, we'll be back later this year with season 3. In the meantime, you can keep an eye on our feed because there is going to be a ton more bonus content coming your way very soon.
And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Pocket Casts, or online at awin.com/podcast.
And while you're there, why not go ahead and leave us a rating and a review, hopefully a very good one.
I certainly hope so. But either way, that's it from us today. Thanks again for tuning in to A Win-Win Marketing Podcast Season 2, where we show you how affiliate partnerships always offer a win-win.
It's goodbye from me and goodbye from Sam.
Bye.